Thanks for listening to another episode of How Good Is Rugby League?
We're stoked to be back for season 5, and this year we're coming back bigger and better than ever.
That's right, Michael. You've been busy over the off-season. We're now on Instagram, X, YouTube, and TikTok. And of course, you can listen to us on all podcasting platforms.
Now it's time for another episode of How Good Is Rugby League? Hello and welcome to another episode of How Good Is Rugby League? My name is Michael Corbin, and joining me, as he does most Tuesdays, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, how are you going?
Michael, I am well. I'm rested. I've had the bye week. Got to recharge my batteries, rest my mental health, and back to it again on Thursday night.
An important 2 competition points as well for South Sydney. Now, I noticed the top 4 teams on the ladder have also all had a bye.
Yes. It's that time of the year where we go into this again.
Yeah.
I did notice that too. I noticed that the top 4 and the bottom. The top 4 and the bottom 2 have had byes, which I think is meant to make the ladder perhaps look a little bit cozier.
All right. Well, there has been a lot of news. The last 2 days especially, a couple big injuries.
Yes.
For 2 clubs that one team probably didn't have top 8 aspirations. One team definitely did in the Raiders and the Knights. Jamal Fogarty, torn bicep, 12 weeks. I was actually going to pose a question to you this week. Has he been the best kicker of the football to start the competition?
Yeah.
He didn't make it through the second half of the game against the Broncos on the weekend. But he was fantastic, and Canberra were doing quite well, and a lot of it was because of his ability to lead the team around as the dominant half. And Caelan Ponga, I've spoken about Caelan Ponga at length last year, this year, how Knights are so dependent on his ability to create points. What does this mean for Newcastle?
Yeah, it's not great for Newcastle. It's also, it's really, really bad for Newcastle, actually. Caelan Ponga, in the game last week, Mike, against the Roosters, I actually thought was a huge liability for most of that match, where he injured his hip. We were told that this injury was not caused by that injury. They say opposite side, but you know when you pull a muscle and your body kind of adjusts for the fact? Exactly. And they have denied it, but there is a clear issue there. And I now they're going to pay the price for this. They say 8 weeks, no, possibly 12.
I think it's 12.
They say
it's
even longer. I think the last person had this injury, Jamal Idris, had it 5 years ago.
Corey Horsburgh had it 2 years ago. It's a Liz Frank injury.
Yeah. Idris had it before. And the recovery time does vary, and it takes a while. So Newcastle underwhelming to start the season, and they were probably waiting for Ponga to sprinkle some magic dust to get their season going like last year. I wouldn't rule anything out this early on in the season, but I don't think they're going to be making the top 4 as I predicted.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be making the top 4. I don't think they're going to be making the top 8, which is what I predicted, but not because of this.
They're underwhelming. They have been
underwhelming. Their forward pack has been a bit underwhalming. It's been a halves roulette, which I mentioned at the start of the season, between Cogger, Gamble, and Hastings. Every week it seems to change, and there just doesn't seem to be any consistency. So it's going to be a tough few months for the Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, we have a very good friend who is mentioned on this podcast often, who has made the pilgrimage to Newcastle, has been living up there for the year. I don't know. I haven't heard if he's gone to a Newcastle game yet. I don't know how many he's going to be going to now.
Last time he went, he tore his MCL running onto the field and trying to kick a field goal.
It's a shame because, you know, if they made the top 4, we would have given him the opportunity to co-host the podcast as well.
Yeah, that'll stink.
Honestly, big implications, I think, for Newcastle. So reliant on him, but I actually think he was quite selfish the way he was against the Roosters.
He should have pulled himself off. The team should have saved him from himself, which we mentioned last week. One silver lining, One less headache for Billy Slater.
That's it.
Reece Walsh cementing that number one jersey, assuming health.
Was it in doubt?
Probably not, but like maybe Ponga would have been on the bench somewhere.
I don't think it was in doubt. We'll get to Reece.
Yeah, we'll get to Reece. Okay. Other news. Big day for the Sharks.
Yes.
Headlines came out about 10 o'clock this morning that their captain from last year, Dal Finucane, has been forced into immediate retirement due to ongoing concussions and head knocks.
Yes.
Tough to see. I've seen it from my team. But Dale's had a great career. Premierships with the Storm. Grand finals with the Bulldogs. He's had a big, long career, played Origin, and a warrior of this game. Excellent singing voice as well.
Mm.
But yeah.
251 matches, 175 wins, 6,663 tackles, 17 tries, and 2 premierships. Yeah, it's a loss. It's also astounded me, and I'm not being critical of Cronulla or of Dale, but it's always incredible how the top clubs seem to medically retire their players.
Look, yeah, a lot of it, these concussion issues have come up more frequently.
Yeah.
I think, funnily enough, as great a player as Dale was, I think he was past his prime.
Yeah, I agree with it.
It's given McInnes a better shot at it. McInnes at that 13 jersey has taken it and run away with it, and Cronulla are probably benefiting from it a bit, having him in the starting lineup over Dale.
I think so. And it wasn't a shot at Finucane. It was more a shot at other teams that do medically retire players, including my own. So, it was a big deal. And then Cronulla in the news again later in the day.
Not good. Like, Dal Finucane celebrate his career. This bad.
Very bad.
Like, scandal bad.
Yeah.
Braden Trindle, after celebrating a win at a teammate's party, at a teammate's apartment, after their win on Sunday night, left the party at about 12 o'clock and continued partying with some friends, was pulled over at about 9:45 Monday morning, blowing a 0.124 on the blood alcohol reader, which is 2.5 times the legal limit, and also tested positive for cocaine while on a suspended license. He appears in court on May 17th. He will not see the field until then, I assume. And I'm sure, I would guess that it's probably going to be long after that he sees the field again.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Well, we'll let it take its course. Yeah. But
that's the news.
Never a dull moment in rugby league.
No. Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
All right. Let's get on to some more positive news. And we'll go into our how good and how bad, last week. Last week, you asked me some questions.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask you some questions.
Go for it.
So, first one, is Reece Walsh the most electrifying player
in the NRL? Yes. How good? I didn't even know the question, but I hear Reece Walsh, how good. He is, I can't even explain him. I don't recall seeing someone like this in the game, Mike. I watched that Brisbane game. The angles with which he runs, the speed in which he charges onto the ball, the space he makes, the breaks he makes. He is, I know, and we've criticized him. I've criticized him. Rocks and diamonds.
Yeah.
But those diamonds, oh my gosh. Put a ring on them.
They are in Africa.
Yeah, straight out of Heart of Darkness. They are just he is awesome. He is that whole team. I don't know if this is going to be covered, but that team is so fast, so electrifying, and so excellent to watch.
Yeah, what he does to edge defenders is just, he puts them in so much doubt every single time he sweeps around. And yeah, that speed, the ability to accelerate when turning, is just, Ponga has it a little bit, Billy Slater had it a little bit, but not to this level.
He does remind me so much of Slater.
Yeah.
He is so much like him, but the angles that Ponga's running and sort of the passes are going almost backwards 45 degrees Reese is running onto them and then creating gaps that look so narrow to the naked eye that he just runs through on both sides of the field. It is awesome. He is a great player. And I think that if he plays like this in the back end of the year, he could be the X factor difference between the Broncos winning or losing a grand final.
I agree. I completely agree. Okay, this is a two-parter.
Yep.
Dragons will be a top 8 team after round 27. And Zach Lomax will make his origin debut for New South Wales.
In what position?
I assume the wing.
Yes. Dragons are a top 8 team.
Wow.
Yep. Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of teams that should be top 8 that aren't going to play top 8 football. And I think that if the Dragons consistently, if the Dragons play as they've been playing and beat enough of those teams, they will make it. They will make it. And Zach Lomax will play State of Origin. I think he's one of the top players in the game right now.
Well, he's leading the Dally M's.
Yeah, I know.
He's outright leader of Dally M medal.
Yeah.
Second is Nicholas Hines.
Mm.
And someone who now I'm going to mention, Isaiah Coteau is the most improved player in the NRL.
100%. 100%.
He's been excellent.
Yeah. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
All right. Now let's a little less positive.
Mm.
The NRL needs to adopt one referee or one person to sit through all 8 games in the bunker for consistency.
Yeah, this is a how good. I am all over this. I've said this, Michael.
You
I've
did
said
say this,
this on
2 weeks
podcast.
Ago. You said you would love to
do sign me up. I'm not a referee, but I could do the job. 100%.
It's the inconsistencies between games, between the bunker, is glaring.
The only concern I actually have with this is that referees have different interpretations, right? And we've seen pushback from some referees on the field to what the bunker is saying. So what happens if Michael Corbin's in the bunker, and on Friday night a decision happens, Ashley Klein accepts what the bunker says.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, Adam G on the field pushes back on what Michael Corbin says.
I would prefer the referee to push back.
Yeah.
I want the referee to have control of the game.
Yeah.
I want them to be the ones making more decisions than the bunker is.
Yeah.
I'm more than okay with that.
Yeah. 100%. I agree with you. And I think we also need set criteria on what the bunker needs to look at, because the bunker missed in the Tigers-Panthers game. It missed a blatant sin bin, but it somehow reviewed a knock-on by Stephen Crichton in the Bulldogs game, which was actually a pass, which it categorized. It was a
tap on. Yeah, I've seen that before.
But that's murky area.
It is murky area.
And I don't like the fact we're going there.
Yeah, I've seen that rule before.
And it wasn't what it was meant to review either.
No, it wasn't.
But it picked it up on the way.
The whole play.
Well, yeah. I don't know why they didn't go back 3 plays then.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this is when they got the ball. Let's find any error in this point in time.
Yeah. They look, they nitpick and look for things to overturn certain situations. All right. The Warriors and the Roosters need to make a harsh decision and change the person wearing the number 1 jersey.
With the Warriors, I'm going to say I need to see more football from them. I need to see if this experiment, it hasn't gone long enough, what I'm saying with 2 of us to check in that role. I'm not as convinced on that. I am convinced on the Roosters. Absolutely convinced. I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of the Roosters game last week, but your text messages were enough for me.
Teddy just, he looked hesitant because of the head knock.
Yeah.
Was my concern.
Yeah.
And maybe that changes this week, but we saw what Martin did the week before.
But I'm personally,
I wouldn't make a change just yet. How bad on this?
Mm.
I think Teddy was great to start the season.
Mm.
And we know what Martin does when he does play number 1, he's a highlight reel because he just gets a lot more touches and he makes a lot of meters.
But is moving Tedesco almost not a question of welfare now? Like, So many of those, how many concussions has he had? And how many of those have been from the covering tackles?
He's going to be making more tackles in the front line.
True, but he's going to be making them more likely in a situation where there's less impact than there is.
Yeah, he's going to be one-on-one, I understand.
Yeah, like I think of the Sevo and the one against the Bulldogs, that's two of his 10 concussions, and those tackles don't happen if he is a defending center.
No.
Or winger.
No.
An expensive winger, though.
A very expensive winger. Mm. All right, and my last one, Sharks. This could change. This answer could have changed from when I wanted to pose it, but a Sharks a genuine contender? Sharks are a genuine contender. My question, not a question, statement. How Sharks are a genuine contender?
How bad?
Okay.
A few reasons.
Yep.
Their draw is too easy to make this call. They have been in this situation before and lost in straight sets in the finals. They haven't, in my view, they had a game, it must have been the last year against Panthers, where they actually looked good despite their loss.
26-0, yeah.
Yeah. But, I remember it. But I haven't seen enough of them against a Broncos, Storm.
That matchup's in a couple
Penrith,
of weeks.
That matchup's in round 10
yeah.
in Melbourne. I haven't seen enough to convince me that they're there.
Do you need to see them versus one of the top contenders from the years past?
Yeah.
As in like a team that you know has that pedigree.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I would ordinarily throw a Souths or a Roosters in there, but I just don't think they're in that pedigree.
No.
And I think that Storm, Panthers, Broncos are the three that they probably need to beat. And I'm not sure how many times they play those three, actually.
I think they play the Broncos twice.
Yeah. But they need to – I'm not even saying it should be they win. It's got to be – they've got to be in it for the 80.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I just think that there's been signs. I think I agree with you. I don't know whether they've proved enough yet, but they have shown a lot more grit than they have in previous seasons. Yeah, their defense has been a lot better.
The Warriors win early on.
Fantastic.
But, you know, I'm not going to make this call on the back of the Cowboys team that we've been poo-pooing for a few weeks as shouldn't be up there.
Yeah.
Ordinary defense, pumped teams that were weak.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Round 9.
Mm.
Round 9?
8.
Round 8.
Anzac round, Michael.
Anzac round.
Your favourite time of the year?
It is. Going to miss the game, though.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
So, this week, there were 3 7s. Camilla, Clive, and Will Casamatis, who got 7 out of 8. A lot of sixes and a few threes, which I assume means people forgot to tip. Round 8. So, Anzac round kicks off on Thursday on Anzac Day. 3 games this Anzac Day, first time ever. Previously had 5 in 2015, but usually we just have the 2 games, Dragons Roosters and the Melbourne Warriors game. Warriors want to, fair enough, take the game to New Zealand. Melbourne pushed back on that. They've got the contract with Amy Park. So lo and behold, 3 games. Let's pull Souths in to play at Amy Park. That'll be a spectacle.
It's an easy win for the home faithful.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And another Thursday night loss for us. So things actually kick off in New Zealand this year with the Warriors hosting the Titans on Thursday night. I feel like we've done a really good job with this, Mike. We put the mocker on the Warriors.
Yeah, the Warriors haven't been putting teams away. And it's like, I don't know. I've been a bit disappointed with them this year, to be honest.
Mm.
I thought they'd be better. And that loss they were terrible against the Dragons. They were, and like, it was a really strong 15 minutes where they couldn't score points. And then the Dragons just took it away from them.
Yeah.
But against a winless Titans team at home on Anzac Day, how can you tip the Titans?
Mm.
How can you?
Well, they haven't been bad. The last 2 outings have not been bad.
Yeah. Look, they almost got so close to getting Manly. I'm still tipping the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still tipping the Warriors.
Okay, so for the Warriors, Capewell is out.
By the way, Titans.
Yeah.
Dez, the fifth coach ever to lose 13 straight games, I think it was.
So this goes back to the Pride jersey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he joins Ricky Stewart, Michael Hagan, and there was one other on the list. I can't remember.
Brian Smith?
Brian Smith might have been on there. I can't remember who.
Okay, so Kurt Capewell will miss the Anzac Day game after suffering a throat injury against the Dragons. He's replaced by Jacob Lebarn. And Dylan Walker returns from an ankle injury on the bench alongside Mayu'u, who makes his NRL debut. Adam Pompey drops to 18th man. For the Titans, Hasler has picked the same 17 that pushed Manly all the way. David Fifita again named to start as he was last week before a late switch to the bench. Sami and Palacia remain sidelined. Michael's tipping the Warriors.
Jake Laban, good player. It's coming through. Will be a damaging edge back rower in the years to come.
Okay. Thursday, Dragons host the Roosters at Allianz Stadium. No changes to the Dragons side that got the job done against the Warriors. Jack Bird is listed among the reserves as he looks to return from a head knock. And for the Roosters, Dom Young back from suspension, Sam Walker back from concussion. Suali'i goes back to the centre. Michael Jennings drops to 18th man. Connor Watson reverts to the bench after two games at halfback. And Zach Docker-Clay drops off the bench. Michael.
You know me, I will never, ever, ever, ever tip the Dragons against my own team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tipping the Roosters. I'm not confident, but I'm tipping the Roosters.
Roosters roaring favourites for this one.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Okay, Thursday night, Storm hosts
Souths. Is it a Dragons home game? It's a Dragons home game.
Yeah. Thursday night, Storm hosts Souths in Melbourne. Craig Bellamy's named an unchanged side. Big Nelson starts and Christian Welch is on the bench, although a game day swap could be on the cards. For Souths, Damian Cook has been recalled and will start at hooker. Pete Mamazelis moves to the bench. Jai Arrow returns from a shoulder injury and a massive boost. And Cam Murray has completed his concussion protocols after coming off the field against the Sharks. Tevita Totola is out with a foot injury. That's been spoken about the last week. Shaq Mitchell comes into the starting side. And Jacob Gagai comes into the wing for Tyrone Munro, who has a collarbone injury.
Yeah, like another collarbone injury for Munro, who broke his collarbone to start the year.
Yeah.
And then re-broke it, which is always a problem. Liked what I saw out of Jai Gray a couple of weeks ago, despite being 5'5" tall, but just gives it his all. But Melbourne in Melbourne against a team that has never beaten Melbourne in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Melbourne.
Yeah. What am I looking for here, Mike? I'm just looking for them to
show something.
Respectable.
Yeah.
Just something respectable.
Don't keel over. I found it very interesting that Demetria has come out and said that Jai Gray has 2 weeks to win a jersey that it was previously Latrell Mitchell's, which you don't normally, you wouldn't hear that if a Dylan Edwards went down.
No.
Or a Reece Walsh went down.
Yeah. So basically it's his, unless something monumental happens. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I also, I know that injuries happen. Okay, and some things can't be controlled, but it's my understanding that South's physio, Eddie Farrer, so Robbie's brother, is the long-term physio at the club, but was moved on in the off-season. And I'm not sure the name of the person they brought in, but I was reading that they've brought in someone that the players all get along with. Now, I'm really sick of reading about the club just hiring people that the players get along with because it's not doing anything for them. You know, like, is this guy telling them they've got to do their rehab and they've got to do this?
Are they getting challenged?
Are they getting challenged? Are they doing what they're meant to? Or anyway, don't start. Can't start. Sorry. I said I had good mental health, so let's run with that for another
Melbourne
day or so.
In Melbourne. Let's go. Yeah. Friday night.
Manly hosting Parramatta. Now, Parramatta won this game not that long ago at Bankwest, but it's a very Moses different played. Team. Josh Aloyer returns from suspension to Matt Lodge back to the bench. Aaron Woods is 18th man. Nathan Brown is also back on deck, so Dean Madison makes way. For Parramatta, Ethan Sanders will make his debut at 5'8 in place of Dejan Arcee. While Sivo's been recalled on the wing at the expense of Sean Russell, and three new faces on the bench with Kelma Tuolungi, Brendan Hands, and Makisi Makatoa all coming in. Ryan Madison moves into the starting side. Blaze Tuolungi and Luca Moretti drop to the reserves. Last week, the Dolphins, who I don't think we spoke about enough to start this podcast, were incredible. Parramatta were described by their coach as part-time footballers. That is the last time they go to Darwin, where they were mostly booed in a venue that they have called home for the last 10 years for one home game. It's quite incredible that no one really warmed to them in that period of time.
No, and the fact that the Dolphins scored 8 tries in 24 minutes is disgraceful. Already,
to watch.
It's Brad Arthur's head's already been butted up for the spike.
Yeah, I think it's his week.
Yeah, it's his week. The media's decided to pick on Parramatta this week, and rightly
because
so.
Because South's had the bye.
Rightly so. If they don't make the top 8 this year, I think that there will be big concerns for Brad Arthur. I'm tipping Manly in this game. No Mitchell Moses. Like he was the big reason. It was the kicking battle between him and Cherry Evans in that first battle at Bank West. But no Mitchell Moses in this one. There's Parramatta have nothing in attack.
Yeah.
Unless you're versus Cowboys.
Okay. Saturday afternoon, the Tigers host the Broncos at Campbelltown. Rugby union convert Ale Molo will make his NRL debut as an injury replacement for Junior Tupou on the wing, and there's a change in the props too, with Fanua Pole dropping back to the bench and John Bateman switching from second row to lock. Sam Finu comes in to start on the edge this week. For the Broncos, 3 big ins, Haas, Reynolds, Piakura all back on deck. Ezra Mam and Cobbo are out and are set to miss the game. Jock Madden moves from halfback to number 6 to cover for Mam. Dane Mariner returns from a back injury to fill the void in the back line created by Cobbo. And Jesse Arthur switches from wing to centre. Brisbane looking just really good to watch.
Yeah, Brisbane for me.
Yep. Okay, the Saturday night game, we would have ordinarily been a bit more excited about this. Cowboys host the Panthers. Now, the Cowboys dropped from 2nd to 8th in the space of a weekend. Is that right? Incredible. This week, they host Penrith with Nathan Cleary back on deck. His first game since round 3, and Schneider drops out to make way. Dylan Edwards is named, and Taylor May retakes his place at centre after having last week off. For the Cowboys, Todd Payton has not made major changes. But there are a couple of changes to the pack, including Griffin Neame replacing Tamalolo as starting prop, with the latter reverting to the bench. Jack Kajewski is out of the 17 after starting in the second row last week, with off-season recruit Thomas McKayley the new face on the bench.
I would like to give us both a pat on the back for calling the Cowboys' demise last week.
Yeah.
We've
got to be fair to ourselves after we were so poor and had no credibility on the Newcastle prediction. Yeah.
I didn't tip Newcastle to do well, so didn't I? I think I tipped the Dogs.
No, I'm talking about in season predictions. So.
I had them ninth, so you're on your own.
Yeah.
But this Cowboys team cannot defend. They're averaging over 30.8. Game conceded, and they're going up against a rested Panthers team.
Yep.
Who they normally play during Origin when everyone's out. No excuses now. Panthers by big margin.
Yep.
Big, big margin.
Okay, Sunday afternoon, I love watching them play now. The Dolphins, they are I just love their football, Michael. Wayne Bennett coach teams play good, simple football. So many tries, end-to-end, speed. A lot of passing, not everything off kicks. They just create space for each other and support each other. They host Newcastle on Sunday at Suncorp. So one change for them, Kurt Donoghue's returned from suspension, bumps Sean O'Sullivan back to the reserves. Trey Fuller keeps the job at fullback after a strong performance in his first game of the year, and Jared Wallace is set to miss out on a spot again. For Newcastle, David Armstrong will make his debut after his name to take over from Ponga. Gagai returns from a week out with a calf injury and is the captain. Jed Cartwright takes the spot made vacant by Jack Hetherington's suspension.
Yeah, I don't know what Hetherington was doing there.
He was being Jack Hetherington.
True.
As someone tweeted, no one could do Jack Hetherington quite like Jack Hetherington. It's just, I didn't even know where to begin, really.
The Dolphins get this one.
Yeah.
I think.
I think that's...
Weighing against these old clubs.
Loves it.
Loves it.
Raiders, Sharks on Sunday. Interesting game. This one would have been with Fogarty. But... After losing out on a starting spot to Ethan Strange last week, for the first 7 weeks, KO Weeks now gets the chance to partner him in the halves after being called in to replace Jamal Fogarty, and Sasangi's name to start in the second row after being a late addition to the run on side, and Chevy Stewart keeps the job at fullback, which is great. He had a tough week, but you just got to get on with it. And for Cronulla, Braden Trindle, as Michael has flagged, is... not selected, and Daniel Atkinson will partner Nico in the halves. Sione Katoa returns from suspension on the wing and bumps last week's try-scoring rookie Sam Stone Street out of the 17. No other changes for Cronulla, who lead the competition.
Love what I've seen out of Kyle Hero.
Yeah.
212 run meters on the weekend. Not a kick, no kick returns, no line breaks. That's just hit ups.
Mm.
It's just pure, just running hard. Hines, 31 tackles, 2 misses. Really good. And yeah, this team is, they're firing. Cam McInnes is doing a great job in the middle. Blake Braley doesn't ever seem to miss or get tired. And Tommy Hazleton. Is he a Smoky for Origin, Tommy?
Yeah. I reckon.
Cult Hero down there, he has been excellent. For Canberra, this might be, one, the least experienced spine that I've ever seen.
Mm.
Two, one of the worst spines I've ever seen.
No, don't knock it. Don't knock it.
Who knows what Ricky's going to do, but I'm going to tip the Sharks.
Yes, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And, of course, the coaches up against each other. Ricky used to coach Fitzy.
Sure did.
Yep. We were just talking about Cronulla before and their big test. So they play Canberra in Canberra. They then host the Dragons.
That'll be a good game.
They play Melbourne. They then host the Roosters.
Nah, Magic Round.
Magic Round. And then they host Penrith.
Yeah.
So this is their challenge now, just before Origin. But then I'm not really sure that it gets that challenging for them. Beyond that, they then play the Eels.
Must be nice.
Must be nice, honestly. Imagine being a club that no one wants to watch. That must be what it's like. A club that doesn't rate.
Yeah, a little shout out James Fisk just wanting to mention Nico's wet hair and how good it looks. It did look good on the weekend.
Yeah, just to confirm, that's not James Fisher Harris.
You know? No, definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah, and a big shout-out to Tony Corbin, who is my favourite Corbin based on the fact he doesn't support the Roosters, Michael's father.
Mm-hmm.
Good man.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time I've heard that.
Yeah. No, won't be the last either.
Probably not. We will leave it there.
Okay, so, Mike, your sure thing for the weekend and your thing that could happen, but people won't expect.
My sure thing.
Yeah. What is an absolute certainty to happen this weekend?
Penrith scoring 30 points.
Okay.
Or more.
Yeah.
My something that could happen.
Your smoky.
My smoky.
Doesn't have to be a result.
Jeez, that's tough.
He doesn't want to say it, does he?
Say what? What were you
thinking? I don't know.
Reece Walsh hat trick.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah.
At Campbelltown. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well done.
Yeah.
That's it. Happy Anzac Day.
Happy Anzac Day. My tips, by the way, were...
Oh, yeah. We should do that.
Warriors.
But Mike was going Warriors over the Titans. Roosters to beat St. George. The Storm to pump Souths. Manly.
I didn't say pump. I said Storm to beat Souths.
Yeah, I said pump. Okay. Manly to pump Parramatta. Reece Walsh hat-trick at Campbelltown and Broncos to win. Panthers to put 30 on the Cowboys in Townsville. Dolphins to shine again. Fins up, baby. And Cronulla to win in Canberra.
And that's it.
There you go. How good is it? There we go.
How good is it? How good is rugby league?
Thank you, Michael.
We'll leave it there. Thanks, guys. Happy Anzac Day. Best round of the year. Best round of the regular season.
Mm.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah.